Morning. Wonderful to be with you all. I'm Rick, for those who don't know me, from our Robson Park congregation, where we had a wonderful morning and look forward to being with you today. Communication, the quest to be understood. For those of you who know a two-year-old, that can be very entertaining at times. In fact, my two-year-old has recently been going on and on and on about a tootie, daddy tootie. And if you don't know what that is, neither did I, until he climbed onto the oven and started trying to shave off cookies that Carrie had just baked. It means cookies. In my endeavor to communicate and understand, be understood, I've been working long and hard for a number of years now at a foreign language. In fact, going on 10 years, and Carrie has been a very wonderful coach, very patient. Of course, I've been learning to speak woman. And so this morning was a wonderful example. She comes to me and says, while I'm running around getting ready for some stuff, she says, hey, the photocopier said it was out of paper. I've put plain paper in the photocopier. Is that okay? Oh, yeah, that's fine. And then I went, wait a minute. Why is my wife in the office, and why is she getting paper in the photocopier? Wait a minute. What she really means is, she needs the photocopier for Kids Zone, and could I please come and help her get the photocopier working? Right, Mary Beth's not. Got it. So I passed that test. Others have not done so well. But I'm learning, right? And like I said, she's patient. Sometimes, in the quest to understand or be understood, you come across people who like to use really big, complicated words. How many of you have ever read or had a class with Dr. Alan Roxborough? Anybody? Dan has. Scott, you're smart, though. You don't count. Dan, you're good. I spent time with him just out of high school when we were doing what was called interns at the time. It's what Forge evolved into, and I thought, this is fantastic. Chance to grow, chance to learn about God's Word. I'd never taken a university class at that point. I sat for 3 hours, and I don't think I understood a single word that he had said. In fact, I'm convinced that if if Alan was to rewrite Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, he would have written something like this. Scintillate, scintillate, globule vivific, fain would I fathom thy nature specific, loftily poised in the ether capacious, strongly resembling a gem carbonaceous. I did not write that. A well-known Broadway producer went to see a doctor because he thought he was losing his hearing. The doctor held up a watch, the ticking kind. Can you hear this? Yes, I can hear that. Crosses the room and stands by the door and holds up and says, can you hear it now? Sounds like a Verizon commercial. Yes, I can hear you now. Goes out the door and into the next room and says, if you listen carefully, can you hear the ticking? He listens carefully and says, yes, I can hear the ticking. He came back into the room and said, sir, there is nothing wrong with your hearing, you just don't listen. Advent series is about God speaking. And maybe a subtitle, Scott, can I suggest, is, are we listening? We are going to look at, sort of each week, different ways in which God speaks. And, let me just throw it out there as a start. How do you know, or how do you hear God speaking? Try that again. How does God speak? How do we know that He speaks? Ideas, suggestions, let's brainstorm a bit. How does God speak? Through His Word. Fantastic.
Lightning bolt.
Okay, you know what? Sometimes He does speak, right? You have, through Scriptures, visitations of angels, hearing God's voice. We just came out of Exodus, and Moses and God would speak face-to-face to a friend, right? What else?
Dreams and pictures.
Dreams and pictures. Fantastic. Yep.
Sometimes you lay something on your heart that you just don't know what it's compelled to do.
Yeah. So that's God speaking by His Spirit, right? And this is what Scripture says, that, you know, still small voice in your ear when you turn to the left says, this is the way, walk in. Two more, at least in my list, that we're missing.
Through each other.
Okay, through each other. I did not have that. Yes. One more time.
Voice. His voice. Well done.
Okay, Sunday school answer. We're missing it.
Jesus.
Jesus! God's Word, John 1. We'll get into that in a minute. And one more.
Creation.
Thank you. You get the gold star for that one. Because that's what I'm talking about today. How God speaks through His creation. So here we go. We'll get into some of these other themes through Advent as we go along. But this morning we're looking at how God speaks through creation. And so John 1, of course, was read for us. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. This is fun. If you have some time just to do some digging into John 1, that first two verses, it is very, very rich. First of all, you'll see through the couple of verses that John is very intentionally echoing Genesis. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made. Let there be light, and there was light. John says, in him the Word was the life, and that life was the light of all people. John, in these couple of verses, sets up the themes for his whole book. Creation, life, light. Life to the full, light. And what's really fun about the word that he uses for the Word is fancy Greek term logos, which captured the imagination of the ancient people. For the Greeks, logos was this idea of philosophy and enlightenment and knowledge, and that was like what you would strive to achieve. And for the Jews, logos was God's revelation of himself through his scriptures, through his word. John goes and does something astounding. He makes the Word a person. He refers to Jesus as the Word, who is with God in the beginning, who created, who gives life, and who brings light. And if we go a little bit further, I think Colossians is read for you earlier as well, John 15:17. Not only through Jesus, God's Word, are all things made, but they're also all held together. They're continuously made and held together. And so what does this say? If you look at creation, all right, you have God in the beginning. He speaks, and just by the power of His Word, boom, there's light, right? And then there's land, and then there's water, and there's sunrise and sunset, and there's mountains, and there's all kinds of living things, birds that fly, and creatures that walk on the ground and that swim in the sea. And there's nature cycles. You have the water cycles, and you have seasons, and you have beauty, and you have, out of this chaos and this darkness, there's order and symmetry, and it's amazing. And creation, of course, over and over and over again in Genesis, God says, it's good, it's good, it's good. Of course it's good. God made it, and He's good. And in a sense, we can understand about who God is by looking at what He's made. In the same way that you can listen to somebody who has written a song. John's writing a lot of music at Ruston Park these days. And I've come to know something new about John that I didn't know before by listening to and entering into the music that he's written. What he's written, the subject, content matter, all that. You should be able to look at a painting and know something about an artist. Tasso, you're a trades guy. You can walk onto a job site and you know something about the worker by the quality of his or her work, right? There's something about that that we can know about the creator or the artist. And so you should be able to look at creation and go, God is amazing. He is beautiful. He is abundant and joyful and creative and loving. There's kind of there has been in the past this Christian worldview that God at creation was more like this clockmaker. He sets a clock down, winds it up, sets all these laws in motion, and then walks away. He rests on the seventh day and has nothing to do with his creation after that. Scripture doesn't teach that at all. John 1, there is nothing made that he hasn't made. So creation just wasn't a one time at the beginning. He continues to create and to make. and with his voice to call forth something from nothing, light from dark. But there's also a constancy and a faithfulness and a commitment that we see from God by the order of the world. The world keeps spinning. Without fail, the sun rose today. Can you believe it? You know, the earth that is just perfect enough to sustain life by a distance to the sun, the exact axis on which it sits, the speed at which it rotates, and we are somehow stuck to the ground and don't go flying off into the space. The fact that it's perfectly connected to the sun and our universe to others, and there's a whole dance of galaxies and stars that we're starting to discover that we didn't even know about that's there, and the stars and the galaxies know their dance and they don't miss a step. And they don't do that by accident, and certainly not from God who set something in order and walked away. He's intimately involved in the workings of the universe. Come right down to the molecular level, the atomic level. We learned in science class that everything that looks solid isn't really. There's something called an atom, and at the very core of that atom are neutrons and protons, and somehow with a force, there's one or more electrons spinning around it, and they never collide. And there's always a perfect distance to that center. And this empty space actually appears solid because they go around it so fast. And so everything you see as solid is just energy and dances of electrons that Jesus sustains and calls forth into being. And every moment of life is an incredible gift. Every breath, every heartbeat. You don't think about your heartbeat. You don't think about breathing. These are acts and gifts of grace that Creator Jesus gives. Stand in awe of our Creator today. He speaks through what he creates. He makes himself known through what he creates. You know, even some of the scarier things in nature. You know, a storm. You had a lightning storm come through a few months ago. We're due for a windstorm in the next couple of weeks, I think. Or even when there's, you know, an avalanche or an earthquake or something, or the rising and the crashing of the waves and the tide. You know, there's these moments of awe in creation, where something like Psalm 62 fits. Twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God, and loving kindness is yours, O Lord. I've had a lot of fun in the Psalms this week. There's so many creation Psalms. God creating, king, watching over, stewarding creation, and his loving kindness. So, God speaks through his creation. We have John 1. God's just his word creating and bringing things forth and continuing to sustain them in his act of creation. And now we're going to kind of drill down and look at a very specific example. So if you want to turn to Luke chapter 1, we're going to jump right into the beginning of the Christmas story, the story of Zechariah. It was read for us earlier. I would like to read it in full. Starting in verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord to burn incense. When the time for burning incense came, all the assembled worshippers were outside praying. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you the good news. But now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he had stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, but 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Creator God speaks to Zechariah by his word alone. He brings a baby from barrenness. Wow. There's also a lot of fun to be had in this story of Zechariah. He set the stage. We've just come out of Exodus. God revealing himself to his people, wanting to live with them as this holy fire that somehow doesn't consume them. And then history moves on, and Israel rejects the Lord at different points. He sends prophets, and he sends them into exile, and he brings back a remnant. But then there's a period of almost 500 years where there is silence. God does not speak. There are no prophets. There is no word from the Lord. And we find Zechariah at the end of his 500 years of silence, praying in the temple. He and his wife are both godly people, and he's serving as a priest. He got the short end of the straw and got to go into the temple with fear and trembling to the holiest place to offer incense and a sacrifice. That by itself is a scary job. They'd often tie bells to your foot, so if you didn't come in properly and you got struck dead, they could drag you out without having to send somebody else in after you. So imagine the surprise when the angel shows up and says, "Surprise!" Zechariah would first check his pulse, I think, and go, "Okay, still alive. This is good." God has heard your prayer, Zechariah. Well, this is fun, because Zechariah, we've been told, has prayed and prayed and prayed for a child. And God has been silent up until this point. I think Zechariah, being old, and his wife being old, has really stopped praying. Given up. But he's also in the temple as a priest, praying for and representing God's people. "God, would you hear your people?" Oppressed by the Romans, silent for 500 years. The angel says, God has heard you. You will have a son. And not just any son, he will be a prophet. Like there hasn't been in 500 years. And not just a prophet, he is going to be the very one who paves the way for the Messiah, for the Savior of God's people. Your prayers for God's people has also been heard. God is answering kind of two prayers at once, through giving Zechariah and Elizabeth a son, who of course is John the Baptist, who prepares the way for Jesus. Zechariah, who is a man of faith, he's a practicing priest, and like a lot of us, also struggles at times to believe. I would too. First of all, again, check the pulse, make sure I'm still alive, followed by, "I'm going to have a what? My wife's old. And we've given up hoping on this." Like, in one sense, how dare you stir our emotions after we've resigned ourselves to the fact that we won't have kids. And he actually asks the angel for a sign, right? How can I know this is going to be true? How, in a sense, how can I trust that God is going to do what he says he's going to do? And the angel, you always got to be a little bit careful when you ask God for a sign, because you're not entirely sure how he's going to respond. The angel says, "Sure, you can have a sign. Because you didn't believe God when he spoke, you won't be able to speak until what God said comes true." Zechariah finishes his duty as priest. He goes home. His wife becomes pregnant, and they wait for God to call forth and create what he said that he would. And Zechariah gets to hold in his arms God's creative and surprising work, life and light and joy. Prophet who will go before the Messiah to deliver God's people. It's a wonderful story of God's creativity and his abundance and his surprise. Creator God breaking into the mundane, into the darkness of his people, into the barrenness of Zechariah and Elizabeth. I mean, it's beautiful. Creative God speaks and acts through his creation. Are we listening? This week, as you go about, open your eyes and stand in awe of Jesus, who keeps the world spinning, the universe moving, and the electrons in orbit around our atoms, who continues to create something from nothing, who is our light and our life. How do we respond to him as creator? What does that look like? I mean, Zechariah, in a sense, believed, but didn't believe, wasn't sure that God could do what he had said he would do. Of course, he knew the stories of how God had worked in the past, but could he really do what he said he would? Yes. And he did. Zechariah watched and waited and held God's abundance and joy in his arms through his son. We can respond to God's creative voice by paying attention to the miracle of life and giving thanks. He's speaking. Pay attention. What is he saying about himself? How is he revealing himself? How is that an invitation to trust him? And then very practically, what are the areas in our lives that we need to trust Jesus for? Is there something that you've been praying for or hoping for? Is it freedom from some sort of addiction? We've finished a series on idols, and there are so many things that we're addicted to and will be until our hearts find rest in Jesus alone. Is there something that you've been asking him for freedom for personally, and maybe, like Zechariah, have just stopped praying because you're not really sure God is big enough to do what he says he will? Or, for me, one of the things that God put on my heart this week is, there's a friend and a neighbor that I've been friends with for many years who serves in a lot of our mission group focuses, who I've been praying for, and who God just said, you don't really trust me with your friend. You don't really believe that I'm going to speak and work and save him. You act as though it depends on you. You stopped praying. Will you let me out of the box you put me in and allow me to surprise you, Creator God, who speaks and is, and there's light in life. He is mighty and loving and abundant and full of joy and faithful. And with Zechariah, we can hold these things before the Lord and hope and watch and trust. And that's what Advent is, right? It's the expectant waiting and preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And maybe one of the things that we can do, we've done this at RP and some people took advantage of it, I'd love us to practice more and more opportunities and chances to pray with and for each other. And so if there is something that God sort of set in your heart and said, you know, you've kept me in a box here. You've thought that I'm small, and I am Jesus who speaks and brings something out of nothing, who can touch Zechariah and Elizabeth in their barrenness, who can come to Israel in her darkness. If there's something that you need to come to Jesus and to say, maybe I've stopped hoping, or maybe I've been hoping, but it's been a fool's hope, and I need to move into a position of active trust and acting as if you're going to work and speak and move. In one sense, you are creator, and I'm not. Or maybe it's someone that you need to bring to the Lord. Hey, with Out of the Cold coming up on Friday, there's a friend you've invited to say, Jesus, I can't convince anyone. I will love and I will act and I will speak boldly when the opportunity arises. And I know that you are God and I'm not. And I need you as creator to speak, to touch the life of my friend. What is it that you need to bring to Jesus today? Where does God need to blow open the box that you put him in as creator? Where is he speaking and do you need to hear? So maybe one of the things I can encourage is, Craig, you guys are going to come back and sing a bit more. If there are those who would like to pray or be prayed for, can we maybe reserve the front row and have Dan, elders, and mission group leaders just be prepared and available to pray? And it's just as simple as saying, I need Jesus here. He needs to hear this from me. I need to say, I put you in a box and I'm sorry. Come and be prayed for. Come and respond to Creator Jesus and his voice.